papers are ready.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have topics prepared for you, but sometimes we will go off the beaten path if we want to, or if something should come up. But that's the nature of the game. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this week's show. We do have some interesting news to get to. Definitely want to lead off with some football talk and the sports sampler. One of our favorite shows we're going to talk about in the entertainment entree. And then, of course, the wild non-fortune cookie odd news. We got a hell of a show for you coming up. But before we delve into all of those topics at hand, we like to, you know, keep things a little bit personal, let you know what we're up to. So, Mike, what's going on in the world of Costanzo country?
Well, in Costanzo country, the entire population has been very enamored with the Netflix original documentary Making a Murderer Season 2.
Yep.
I was able to finish that recently. And, man, I'm telling you, if anybody out there is into the true crime genre, you definitely have to see Making a Murderer 2. Well, the first one, obviously, because the second is a continuation. But, God, that series, the saying stranger than fiction has never been more true than with this documentary series. The basic premise is that a man is convicted of a crime he didn't commit and serves 18 years in prison, at which point DNA proves that he had nothing to do with it, and so he is released. He sues the county for wrongful imprisonment for millions and millions of dollars, but then he gets thrown back in prison for murder, hence the title, Making a Murderer. Well, no, the first one was sexual assault. This time it's murder. But he has always maintained that he had nothing to do with it, and that more than that, the county and the police are setting him up and they're just out to get him. And the documentary takes you through the crime and the investigation and the legal proceedings. And at every turn, you're constantly picking your jaw up off the floor because you're just flabbergasted at the discoveries that the documentary makes about the sequence of events and who's involved in what and who does this and that and how certain people tie into everything. And it's just, it's just brilliant. The intricate web of mystery and intrigue and drama and deceit that is woven here. And it's all real. It's all real and it's ongoing. The second season goes up until mid-2017. So it's
Are they telling it from his point of view or the state's point of view? Or
they are taking a broad, especially the second season, forensics point of view. They're really focusing on the story that the evidence tells, and they're pursuing those leads of what the evidence is suggesting, and they're chasing all of those leads. But there is a slight leaning towards the person in jail and his family because it's showing the impact on them of what's happened. But they definitely don't pull their punches with these people because they have issues and they highlight that. But I think the bigger issue at hand is this person's case against the county and the state. And so they're chasing specifically those leads. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take that as a yes.
I'm trying to be vague.
Right.
I don't want to give away too much. I mean, it's been out there on the news. It's been widely reported. So you may probably know what's going on without even seeing the series. But I highly recommend it. If you're into the true crime genre, it is just fascinating. It just hooks you in, and it has such a great way of presenting the information and of just pacing it and how they dole out information at a steady pace. It's really good. But more importantly, this weekend, it was also my brother's birthday.
Oh, Bruno,
Our associate producer, John Bruno Costanzo, was his birthday, yeah.
Oh, where is he? Why isn't he part of the show this week?
I think he's, like, napping on the couch or playing Naruto games on his phone or something.
Oh. He's still addicted to that Naruto.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Well, I guess in honor of his birthday, I think there's only one way that we can honor our associate producer, Bruno, and that is with his most famous song.
I remember when... Michael was a bitch, and now he's still a bitch. Michael's a bitch. Michael's a bitch. He is a bitch. Yeah, you know it. Woo!
Yeah, yep. There you go. So yep.
Happy birthday, John Bruno.
Happy birthday to John Bruno.
I like how the song that you play to commemorate him also, at the same time, insults me.
Yes.
It's perfect.
I find no fault in that.
I feel like that's the perfect example of a sibling relationship ever.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I love you, you piece of crap. You know, it's like...
you
it's,
little turd.
Yeah, it's all in one, you know? But yeah, happy birthday to him. We celebrated his birthday this past weekend. That was fun.
He just came back from L.A., right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's living the high life, man.
Yeah,
he's,
man. He's
took a trip to L.A.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be done with us soon. You know, he started he's out gonna be associate producer. Now he's hanging out in L.A.
Well, that's what he's doing. He's using this gig as associate producer here to turn it into an associate producer gig at, like, one of the big, you know, news agencies.
There you go.
That is so John Bruno right there. Oh, just use us as a springboard and nothing more.
Of course. Well...
And all the big shots are going, my God, he was associate producer for a small local podcast.
For the Crispy Noodle. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hire that man.
$500,000 annual salary.
Well, happy birthday to Mr. John Bruno.
So that's what we were doing, Rich. What were you up to this weekend?
Let's see. I had a wedding that I was at this weekend, so that was interesting. Ooh. And yeah, you know, weddings are fun. You know, always got to,
yeah,
it's always a good time. You know, get to show off your dancing shoes and
just the shoes,
yeah,
not the moves,
just the shoes. Because I don't have any moves, so
you walk out on the dance floor. Hey, look at my shoes.
That's it, and
hey,
then I walk back.
Excuse me, look at my shoes,
yeah, and then I walk back to the table. that's all I'm doing.
Well, I get the feeling you're more of a food and drink type wedding person.
Yeah, I love all the food and drinking that comes with a night of the wedding reception. So, yeah, that pretty much ate up the majority of my weekend. So, I guess the only other thing I did, I did some shopping. I know I sound like completely just like...
I ran some errands this weekend.
I didn't have any of my usual concerts or anything.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of dying down, right?
Yeah, just
going
about.
Going into the fall and the winter.
Although, 1 month from now... Ghost will be in the area, one of my favorite bands. So
I know you're eagerly anticipating that.
Yeah, I'm going to go see them twice while they're in the area, because it's pretty much like their last American leg. Starting 2019, they have like a whole European trip, so I don't think they're going to be back stateside for a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm seeing them twice in December, and I don't care who's going to stop me.
You got to get your fill.
Right, I got it. If they're going to have a European leg in 2019, that means they're probably not going to be here for a while. So I can't wait to go see them. Bruno! Hi! He's a boy. Okay, he just woke up.
He looks like he just woke up.
Okay, never mind. I wanted to just say hi. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
There you go.
I don't think that... You get it, but okay, whatever.
In true producer fashion, he just says a few words and
then
leaves.
No, but nowhere near a microphone.
Yeah, of
so
course.
It won't make it on the podcast. So, thank you, Bruno, for that. But anyway, so that's what I've been up to this past weekend.
Nice.
We're moving right along here in November. I know something I want to mention.
Yeah.
Daylight savings time.
I hate daylight savings. Oh. Well, I like it, but I also hate it.
Yeah.
It messes me all up.
Right, it does. Like, I keep thinking it's later than it is, and it's not.
I'm so exhausted
and
right now.
And it's throwing me off. It's making me, like, anxious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm anxious that, like, I'm doing things too late, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm late!
Yeah.
But I'm not.
But
it's just...
Also, I don't know about you, but I feel so tired this week. I, like, look at the time, and I'm like, oh man, it's really late. I look over, it's like 6:45. I'm like, what is happening right now?
It probably doesn't help that when you're leaving work, now it's dark. Now
it's
black.
Been rainy and dark and just miserable and...
Oh, it really has been rainy, too, lately.
It's just...
All right, so here's something I did in my shopping. I bought a new leather jacket.
Ooh.
Yeah, because my old one was ripping. I had it for a couple of years. So I'm like, all right, that's the sign.
Yeah.
Like, you can have the worn look, but the moment there's a hole in it and it's getting bigger and bigger, you can't really. I'm not a character from Red Dead Redemption.
You can't just slap a burlap patch on it and be like, I'm a cowboy.
Right, so I got a leather jacket.
Nice.
And I swear, ever since I got the leather jacket, it's been raining. And you can't, you know, you're not going to bring a leather jacket out in rain. So I can't show it off.
See, Mother Nature knew.
Yeah. What the
hell?
You're
like, you went out and you're like, look, Mother Nature. And you held your jacket up to the skies. And she was like, oh, yeah? Watch this.
You
and just
bitch.
Started pissing on everyone.
Yeah. And we've had rain ever since.
Yeah. See, you brought the rain.
I know.
Rich,
I have superpowers. I brought rain this week. I brought spiders last week.
I'm scared of what you're going to bring next week.
Yeah,
I brought bobcats this week. It's like, why, Rich?
I thought they were cute. What? So there you go. A little personal bit to start off the podcast. But now it's time to get to the first part of the show where we go over some sports headlines. In the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. So for those that are new to the podcast, basically because of the way we do the podcast on a weekly basis, it's very suitable for football. But, you know, for basketball and hockey, it's kind of a little bit odd to do daily reports or anything, so it doesn't really work out that well. So basically, we'll cover any sort of news in the basketball and hockey realms if a major story breaks, and we'll tackle that when those moments arise.
That's Rich's politically correct way of saying that I hate basketball and hockey.
That and baseball has just ended with the World Series, so... Mike is going to be in heaven because now pretty much the sports world, pretty much revolves around football at this point.
Football is just the best.
So with that in mind, let's go to the 2-minute drill and tackle a couple of topics head on. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. And the clock is armed and go. What do you have?
All right. This week in the 2-minute drill, we have football news, of course. First up, former Tennessee Titans star running back Chris Johnson, otherwise known as CJ2K, has officially retired from football after 10 seasons. In a statement on Monday, Johnson thanked the Tennessee Titans, New York Jets, and Arizona Cardinals for the opportunity to play the game that he loves. He finishes his career with over 9,600 rushing yards, placing him at 35th on the all-time rushing yards list. Rich, at one point, there was a debate in the NFL about who was better, Adrian Peterson or Chris Johnson. I think time has answered that question, but Chris Johnson was an electric player during his years when he was the most active.
Oh, yeah, just all-purpose back. You just never know how they're going to utilize him. So he wasn't a backup running back or anything like that. He was definitely the real deal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, he surpassed 2,000 yards that one year, so... Obviously,
2,000 all-purpose yards.
Yeah, he was a talent, and sad to see him leave the game, but he has had an illustrious career. Next up, as one person leaves, another comes back. Philadelphia Eagles fans got some good news over the bye week. Defensive tackle Tim Jernigan has officially been cleared to return to practice. The team will have 3 weeks to decide to place him on the 53-man roster. Tim Jernigan was a key starter all of last season. And he contributed greatly to the Eagles' much-vaunted defense. Rich, this is huge news for the Eagles.
Yeah, this is much needed for that Eagles defense. I pretty much expect him to jump right back in and pick up where he left off.
Well, here's hoping that he can do that because that defense, I know they have similar numbers as last year, but it just hasn't felt the same, and I hope that Tim Jernigan coming in and helping fill out that rotation will be the thing that kicks us in the rear, into high gear.
He'll be on the roster, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, looking forward to having him back in the rotation.
Yeah, so, welcome back, Tim Jernigan!
Yeah, Timmy!
Yay, Timmy.
Yay, Timmy.
There you go.
That's what I'm going with. That's the news. That's the news that I'm going with.
Yay, Timmy. What a headline.
Yes.
But there's another important headline this week. We talked about Tim Jernigan returning, but this new headline is all about fantasy football. And Rich is here to tell us a little bit about the fantasy football trade deadline. Rich, what do you got for us?
That's right. So last week was the real NFL trade deadline for most standard leagues in fantasy football. This weekend is the trade deadline. So this is it. This is your last chance to make any sort of major moves. If you're a team that, you know, is in the basement with two or three wins, if that's all you have, this is it. Just go make a bold trade at this point. You have nothing to lose. Four or five, you might want to try and get one trade in before the deadline passes. But this is it, folks. This is the official standard trade deadline, although it does vary league by league, so check with your commissioner with when the actual date is for your league. But yeah, this is it. Try and level up. Try and grab a stud, something that will propel your team into the playoffs. This is the time. With 9 weeks of football under your belt, you should pretty much see if there's any sort of trade targets that you're looking for. Look at upcoming schedules, see if there's any soft schedules for top tier players, and try and make your best pitch to try and sway either a stud or build some depth. It depends. Usually, those are the two modes you're trying to think when it comes to these trades. You're either trying to trade for a big stud, or you're trying to trade for additional depth, and that will of course depend on whether or not you need multiple players at one position, or if you need just one stud player to lock down a slot on your team. I'm going to say go for it, and best of luck, because at this point, you know, it's going to be hard to come across talent. You're not really going to be able to come across, you know, a premier talent on the waiver wire, you know, after week 11. This is pretty much it. So if you're, you know, in that like 3 to 4 win range, this is it. Make the push, go pull the plug, go for it. And that's what I got for you this week on my fantasy football advice for week 10. Okay, so back to actual football. The Eagles were on a bye,
yes. But
I think it might have been the best bye week ever.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. The Eagles didn't play any football, but a lot of people are saying they won the bye week regardless. Just first things first, all of our division rivals lost games this past week. So that is key in staying alive in that division. That is a much closer race than I think people were anticipating this year. Not in a good way. They're all sort of middling.
Right.
But they're all sort of hanging around the same win percentage.
Yeah. And the most shocking one, I think, comes with the Redskins. I thought they had a chance to hang with the Falcons.
Yeah.
But that's a huge loss because now they're only a game ahead of the Eagles.
Yep.
And, you know, Eagles 4-4 coming back from the bye week.
Arguably better because we have Golden Tate. Tim just signed with the team. Tim Jernigan could play as early as Sunday if the coaches say, yeah, he's ready to go. They could do that. So I guess here's the main question here is that how do you see the rest of the season playing out for the Eagles? Do you think that the return of Tim Jernigan will help the defense in the way that we're envisioning it? And does Golden Tate actually help duct tape the run game a little bit by excelling in that wide receiver screen game that everybody keeps talking about? Because those are the two big facets going forward, I think.
Right. The Tim Jernigan thing, I think, will help eventually. I don't know if he'll be ready to go as soon as the game on Sunday. So I think eventually that will help. Golden Tate is going to help out this offense.
I heard some murmurs online that he's essentially going to be the Eagles' running game.
That could be.
With the wide receiver screens, apparently he is one of the best wide receiver screen receivers in the league.
He is. When he was with the Lions, that was one of those just cash plays that he had with Matthew Stafford. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles decide to use him that way. He's very good in a quick screen pass and just jetting to the outside and seeing what he can do.
Well, and we know that Doug Peterson is a disciple of Andy Reid, who heavily utilized, some people would say abused, the screen game in Philadelphia in his early years. That was basically our run game, was the screen passes to Westbrook, to the wide receivers. So maybe trying to replicate a little bit of that with Golden Tate, we'll see. Everything I hear is very positive about him, so I think he has a good shot of coming in to our next game and making a difference. Tim Jernigan, I agree, probably not this upcoming week, but in following weeks will definitely help. As the rest of that defensive line gets tired from the lack of rotational players, it'll be the perfect injection of fresh talent to help alleviate some of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing a lot of people are not thinking about right now, is that we lost a lot of key rotational players. Like, we still had plenty of the starters back from last year, but we lost the seconds behind them. And so it doesn't allow them to rotate in and out as much. So I that's how I foresee Tim Jernigan really helping keep things fresh on that defensive line. But how do you see the rest of the season playing out? They're 4-4. Do we have a shot at making the playoffs?
Yes.
What's the rest of the NFC look like? Yes. I mean, yes.
Here's what I'm going with, all right? Okay. This is it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts here, all right? Here's what's going to happen. The Eagles have to go 6-2, 5-3. I'm going to chalk up already. They play the Saints week 11 and the Rams week 15. And those are both away. They're not. I think the way this team is, unless something incredible happens, those are both losses right there.
I'm inclined to agree at this point, definitely.
So with that in mind, the Eagles have to win all the division games.
Here's the thing.
Which is doable,
I think. It's doable. I think our toughest challenge in the NFC East is the Redskins.
Right.
Dallas, I think, is beatable. Dak Prescott, I just saw a headline just before recording. Dak Prescott is holding the ball. I think he has the 37th slowest release time or something like that.
37th? It's only 32 teams.
It's some crazy stat like that. But yeah, now of course I can't pull it up anywhere. But yeah, apparently he's very slow in getting the ball off, and we just played a quarterback. Oh, here it is. The Eagles have only played one quarterback that has held onto the ball for an average longer than 2.4 seconds. That was Bortles, and we sacked him 4 times. Dak Prescott is 37th slowest at 2.83.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Dak Prescott has not been good this year.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to beat up on Dallas twice in the second half of the season.
That Monday night game against the Titans was just pathetic in that second half. I mean, he had, he can't seem to hit targets past 10 yards.
Well, the real problem, and you mentioned this to me before recording, is the fact that they only handed the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott 6 or 7 times in the second half.
Yeah, the second half, they forgot about Ezekiel Elliott.
Dak Prescott shouldn't have even been throwing in the second half. I know you have to come back from a deficit, but
there's a reason why you have Ezekiel Elliott.
Right, you have a top three running back. Lean on him.
Yeah.
Didn't he have, I think I saw a stat, I might be wrong, he had almost 100 yards in the first half, and then they were like, oh.
Yeah, and then they just forgot about him.
Yeah. We don't need to use them.
You know what? Keep doing that, though, because that'll help us next.
Actually, I take back what I said. Dallas is doing just fine.
Yeah. Do what you're doing.
I like the strategy they're employing, and I think they're heading in the right direction.
Right. So help us out week 10. For Washington, this is an interesting matchup they have. They have at Buccaneers for week 10.
That's an interesting one.
Is going to be interesting because Washington, I feel like, is built for keeping a lead. But in terms of coming from behind, they're atrocious. That game against Atlanta on Sunday, they fell behind early, and they just never could keep back up.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is the definition of a game manager.
Yeah.
Which is good in terms of tight games and games where you think you don't want things to get out of hand. But unfortunately, if Fitzmagic happens and he lights up 3 touchdowns in the first half, I think the Redskins lose that game. That could easily be a loss for the Redskins. And, right there, that's enough.
We're tied up with them.
Right, we're tied up.
If we're assuming we beat Dallas our first game back.
Once again, they have to win division.
And the Redskins lose, then we're both, what, 5-4?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Right there. That would be a huge boost to the team.
I think it's doable. I think it's doable to win, six of the last eight, because we have, what, 5 division games.
Right.
Wow.
Right. I say they have to go 6-2 to close out the season, and the losses can only be at New Orleans, at Rams.
It's doable.
They have to go five. They have to win out the divisional games, which is doable, I think. And then they week 16, I would like to see a win at home versus Texans.
Yeah,
that should be a win.
I hope so. The Texans, they've struggled on and off a little bit this year. So I don't know.
What's your primary concern?
I just feel like it's possible for them to win out in the division, but I think they're going to drop at least one.
One of the division games another?
One of the division games. They're going to drop both the Saints and the Rams. They're going to drop a division game, probably against the Redskins in Week 17.
Well, I mean, if it's that one, maybe the Eagles are already...
5-3, 9-7. That's enough to win in the NFC East.
Yeah, especially if they're... Now, the good thing, though, is if it happens that late... That keeps the pressure on the Redskins, so that, you know, maybe by that point the Redskins choke a game, you know, maybe they have a game left against Jacksonville at Jacksonville and another game at Tennessee. That could be a game they choke.
And again, this is all just, you know, guesstimations. This is razor thin for the Eagles, you know,
which is why I would say they have to go 6-2.
Yeah,
I would not if they go five and three, they're going to need luck. Something's going to have to bounce.
Another team is going to have to lose, or you know, some weird playoff. Tie-breaking thing,
right?
Has
which
to happen.
I hate relying on.
You hate relying on it, but you love playing with that stupid NFL playoff predictor machine.
Oh, I do.
They have.
Oh no, I do personally, but not when the fate of my favorite team relies on it.
Every year, Rich will text me. He'll be like, "I found a way for 17 teams to tie, and for there to be,
I do." So there's
a 13th playoff team, and I'm like, "What?"
there's a website, NFL playoff predictor. If you're ever bored, want to waste like 30 minutes, like instantaneously. It's like this algorithm where you see the schedule and you pick who wins, and it automatically generates who's in the playoffs based on all the wacky playoff tiebreakers and everything. It's really fun. Because if you match like 10 teams together with like the same record, it like you have like this team has the best strength of victory, and
yeah.
This team gets in the playoff because most points scored at home. It's like, what? That's a thing?
There's like something stupid like... Like double digit number tiebreakers for the NFL playoff structure.
Yeah.
Doesn't it go all the way down to a coin toss? That's like the 17th option
or
something.
It's never reached that far. I don't think it's ever cracked 10th on the list or something. It goes,
I'm not even going to try to repeat
it. It also depends on what the tiebreaker is for. If it's for a division record comes first,
yeah.
Then head-to-head record, then conference record. If it's for a wild card spot, it's conference record first, head-to-head, division, or common record. Common games record, then I think division, and then falls like...
You can tell Rich has played with this tool a lot.
It's a lot of fun.
A lot.
You know.
It just goes to show you, though, the NFL playoff structure is so well thought out. Now, of course, there are weird situations, like when the Patriots went 11-5 that one year and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. But rarely. Rarely.
That's only one time that's ever happened.
It is, one of the most sound playoff structures of all professional sports.
Yeah.
It's not like basketball, where you have to get a game below 500 and you basically clinch a playoff berth.
Oh.
You know?
Don't tempt us.
Or baseball.
The Eastern Conference is going to be worse this year for NBA playoffs.
It's going to be terrible. It's like, well, we only won 20 games, so I guess we're the eighth seed.
Hop on in.
More than half the teams make the playoffs. Stupid.
Yeah.
And in baseball, we just had this past year, teams had to play like, what was it? Like
game 163.
Game 163, then a wild card. And yeah.
And the Braves were safe.
Yeah.
I hated that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Football's got the best playoff format.
It's meticulous.
Right. It's nitty gritty and it's well thought out. And I just love the fact that it's something where coaches pretty much have the idea that, you know, the even though the system is set up with all these tiebreakers and everything like that, the importance is still on winning the division, taking care of business within your own division, and don't rely on, you know, if you're actually a solid team, you should be able to win against your division, make the playoffs that easy.
Yeah.
And then if you happen to don't, but you're still kind of a good team, then there's that whole tiebreaking formula to get you in as a wild card.
Yeah. And we're talking a lot about playoffs, but you know, it's the right time to be talking about it. Midpoint of the season, the NFL season, while it seems long, there's not many games and everyone counts. And right now the Eagles are in do or die mode. It's a razor thin margin of error here heading into the back half. Yeah. So it's the perfect time to predict ahead what's going to happen.
Which is perfect for our final segment here in the Sports Sampler. It's time for our Fantastic Four picks for week number 10. We've got four games that we're going to try and call right now. Who do we think is going to win them? So what are our four picks, Mike?
Well, first up, we have a really good one. The New Orleans Saints traveling to Cincinnati to face off against the Bengals. It's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. The Saints just toppled the top team in the NFC, beating the Rams. Rich, can they take down the Bengals?
I'm pretty confident, especially coming off of this high that they have of knocking off the Rams and giving them their first loss. But the overall just firepower of this offense is just amazing. I mean,
it's dangerous.
It's pick your poison. I mean, if you protect against the pass and try and fight Drew Brees, well, guess what? He's got Kamara and Ingram that'll hurt you with the running game. You try and block that. Oh, guess what? Michael Thomas is going to have 120 yards. On your defense. I mean, it's going to be very tough for a team to try and stop this Saints team. Although the Bengals are 5-3 and trying to fight for a playoff spot, and they're going to be home, I think the Saints take this one.
Yeah, and you know what? More than that, I'm looking at the stats right now. The Bengals are ranked dead last in defense. Not 31st, not 30th, dead last, 32nd in overall defense.
They give up big plays, too. They had the game against the Steelers a couple weeks ago in the bag, and then they allowed Brown to run over them.
Yeah, so, I mean, you pair that with Breeze and the Saints. I know they're traveling to Cincinnati. It's going to be cold, and usually that has a negative impact on them. I still think that given the lopsidedness of this offense versus the Bengals' defense, you got to go with Saints here. Away. There you go. Next up, we have a surprisingly good game, I think, in the New England Patriots at Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans are sneakily good this year. They have one of the top-rated defenses. Rich, is it enough to take on the Patriots?
Tennessee's 4-4 right now.
4-4, but they have a top-10 defense, and they're tough.
And they just coming off a big win in Dallas. But I still think it's the Patriots. You know, Bill Belichick, he always comes up with just interesting game plans. You know, I would like to see Tennessee pull off this win and further increase their chances of making the playoffs. But you know, it's the Patriots. Until there's something to worry about in New England, I think it's safe to go with the Patriots.
It's like part of me really wants to pick the Titans here just because I love the fact that defense is doing so well. But you know me. I can't pick against the Patriots just because, you know, they're the Super Bowl loser. They lost to the Eagles, as a reminder.
Yes, just to remind everybody.
But it doesn't feel like it. It feels like they got better.
No, they're 7-2.
It feels like they got better.
They're on a six-game winning streak right now.
And, you know, they struggle against really tough defenses, but I don't know if the Titans are tough enough. And Marcus Mariota is not going to get it done passing the ball. They're ranked 30th in passing. And so if Brady gets up ahead, which I assume that he probably will, it's going to be tough for the Titans to come back. I'm going Patriots as well.
Yeah, boring. To use a theme from what I mentioned from the Redskins-Buccaneers game, Titans are another one of those teams that they're good in tight games, but if the Patriots go out to an early 21-0 lead, that's it. They're not coming back. There's no chance.
Yep. So keep an eye on that one. I still think it could be a sneakily good game. Next up, we have an NFC West rivalry, the Seattle Seahawks, fighting to stay alive, traveling to division leader L.A. Rams. Rich, do you think the Seahawks have any chance against the 8-1 Rams? The Saints kind of exposed them, but is it enough?
I don't think so. Just Seattle's kind of hurting, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I don't see it happening. I think Rams going to be comfortable at home. I don't see it happening. I think Rams take this one. They're just another team, too. They got so many weapons. It's like pick your poison. Do you want to get hurt by Jeff Goff and the aerial attack that they have, or do you want to get hurt by Todd Gurley? Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Take your poison.
I think this game is going to be a very tough fought game. Two staunch defenses, two incredible ground attacks, both ranked in the top three. The key deciding factor here, when they're so evenly matched in rushing and in defense, is going to be that passing game. The LA Rams are ranked fifth overall in passing, the top ranked offense in the league. Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's having a down year this year.
This is always the story with the Seahawks. They're hot, they're cold, they're hot, they're cold, and I think this might be a cold year. They just can't seem to get Russell Wilson the weapons that he needs. And I think the Rams are just this force that is, you know, the Saints were able to do it, but the Saints are another freakishly good team. The Seahawks are not freakishly good. In fact, they're overwhelmingly average. So I'm going with the Rams. And finally, to round things off, we have a bitter NFC East rivalry, the only NFC East rivalry that matters. The Dallas Cowboys are coming into Philly to face off against our hometown Eagles. Rich, can we get it done against those dastardly Dallas Cowboys?
I'm going to say this once.
Yes.
Eagles have to win this game.
Yes.
Period. There is no option. Eagles have to win this game so that they have a better division record. They have a head-to-head win over Dallas. And most importantly, this needs to be the final nail in the coffin for Dallas. This needs to end the season right here, right now. Yeah. Right here. I do not want to hear any other talk of, oh, maybe the Cowboys could have a shot at making the play. No, this is it. Right here. The season needs to end Sunday night right here in Philadelphia. Please, for the love of God, don't let me down, Eagles.
I would love nothing more than for the Eagles to...
Eagles lose this game, they don't deserve to make the playoffs.
Well, you're absolutely right, because the way that Dallas fell apart against the Titans and just the way that they've been playing all year, the Eagles absolutely should win this game. And if they don't, it's embarrassing. But I would love nothing more than for the Eagles to climb above 500, end the Cowboys' season. And
there's a lot on the line
in this
game.
There's a lot riding on this game, which is why I think the Eagles are going to lose.
Are you serious?
I'm
going to flip this table
overwhelmingly
over.
Average.
I'm going to flip this table over.
I'm looking at... No. I changed my mind. Eagles are going to win. I don't have a reason. Because I don't fully believe it. Because I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys. They have a surprisingly tough defense. And that rushing attack, I know we like to say we're good against the run, but so far this year, we've been exposed a little bit. We've been exposed on defense, and the numbers show it. We are very, very average in terms of just hard statistics. But they have to win this. This is a must win.
This is a must win for the Eagles. They lose this.
Whenever it's a must win, you know that they do something stupid. That's my problem. Whatever. Eagles, sure. Why not? I don't believe it. But the Eagles are going to win.
Okay. It's one of the most half-assed responses I've ever heard.
I can't help it. It's just I'm so despondent about the way that the Eagles have performed. But I hope that Golden Tate, maybe he could be the difference. Apparently, he always goes off on Dallas. So.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be good. We'll see. I'm going to take the Eagles. Why not?
All right. And there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 10 of the NFL season. Yeah, you have me worried there, Mike.
I'm still torn about that, though, Rich, honestly.
All right, well.
The Dallas Eagles game.
Well, I think you're fine.
Thanks.
Yeah. But with that will wrap up the sports sampler. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, we've got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have a lot more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the Punish, but very pissed off stick here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the crispy noodle podcast. That's what podcast that don't ask me to be on.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. All the football news that we could cram into that segment to Mike's pleasure.
Yes.
Yep. But now we're moving from the sports realm, and we're going to move into the world of TV, movie, and video games. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
To say, I don't know why I am so tickled that you are starring in a movie with Hugh Jackman.
Long story short, Hugh Jackman plays the part of Gary Hart, and he was amazing. And I had a really fun scene where we were tailing him, we were chasing him down this alley, and he's like the nicest guy ever, but he's a big guy, he's like 6'4", and he's ripped. And we went down the alley, and his character's mad at our character, and he just turned around and looked at us. And for half a second, I was like, oh, that's Wolverine. And I legit got scared. And he's a big guy, you know? So what's funny in this scene is as a reporter, I have like a notebook and I dropped it. And after the screening, we went to the Toronto Film Festival and all these actors are coming up to me. I love the choice you made. I love the choice you made to drop the notebook. I go, no, dude, that was real.
There you go. Funny story from Bill Burr that, first of all, he's shooting a movie, which is really good. I like to hear comedians getting some roles in drama movies. But just, I want to see that scene now.
Yeah.
Drops the pen and paper, and apparently that was legit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny when he said, oh my god, that's Wolverine.
Well, I guess that's what you would do if you saw Wolverine charge at you.
If you saw Hugh Jackman just spin around and stare daggers at you, you'd be like, uh-oh. It's funny, though, because a lot of the best scenes in movies are those unscripted moments.
Yeah, where the actor is doing something that is legit emotionally just first instinct.
Like famously in Alien, when the Gutbuster alien comes out, they didn't tell the actors what was going to happen.
Right.
They're just like, oh, something's bothering him, put him up on the table, and then boom, it pops out. So everybody, specifically, they didn't realize stuff was going to shoot everywhere and splash them. And so those looks of horror and the shrieks of terror, that is all real.
Yeah.
So, some of the best scenes are like that. The Shining is another one that comes to mind.
Right.
Where, what's his name, Stanley Kubrick basically mentally and verbally abused the lead actress into having a breakdown on
trying
on
to get
camera.
A perfect shot here.
Yeah,
everything must be up to par here.
Yeah, but I always like hearing behind the scenes like anecdotes like that.
Yeah, I was the one that pops out to me is the one in being John Malkovich. John Malkovich is running down is walking down the side of the road late at night, and some hooligan actually threw like a beer bottle at him. And he freaks out, and that point in the movie, he's supposed to be at like the low point in his life.
Oh right!
So it fit perfectly. So this guy throws this beer bottle at him, and he's like, "Yo, freaking out! Oh my god, why would you hit me with this?" And like the director just kept it in the movie, just like, "Yeah, this is legit." Like
that's awesome.
Part of the storyline.
One of your favorites, Robert De Niro in Taxi.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When he does the whole "You talking to me?" That's an acting. Exercise.
Right, training, to get you ready.
To You're supposed to emphasize a different word in the sentence every time.
Right.
And so if you listen to that scene, that's what he's doing. He's
talking
running
to me.
Yeah, you talking to me.
Talking to me.
Right, and he emphasizes a different word every time. So, yeah.
Oh, another one is Wolf of Wall Street when Matthew McConaughey does the beat in the chest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does that in real life, doesn't he?
Right, no, yeah.
Which is weird.
He does that to get himself ready for whatever the scene is that he's shooting. I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
That's like a good, like, you take... I get, like, the logic behind it. You take, like, 10 seconds to just, like, get ready for the...
Yeah.
Whatever the role or whatever the scene is you're about to shoot. Especially with, like, True Detective and stuff. Like, when it's the more serious stuff. I totally get it.
Right.
That totally makes a whole lot of sense.
I think
But Scorsese just decided to leave that in the film.
Yeah. I think everybody should do that, though. To get themselves ready for anything.
Yeah, right before you go into work.
As you get ready to present something at a meeting, you just start thumping your chest and people are like, whoa, we better pay attention because this dude is off his rocker.
This guy is serious.
Yeah.
Very intimidating. There you go. I think it works.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just interesting, all those little tidbits.
Yeah.
So I wonder what else is out there. You know what? If you know of any, send them to us. Hashtag movie.
Trivia?
Trivia. Movie. Yeah, there you go. I was going to say movie things. That's not very descriptive. Movie trivia is better.
Yes. There's probably much more that we're missing out on. But those are some of the ones that come to mind. But in honor of Bill Burr's story from the time he shot a scene with Hugh Jackman. There you go. The latest from Bill Burr. All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, video games, and more. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
All right, Mike, what do you have for us? Any sort of nastiness coming for this weekend?
No nastiness. A little bit of wholesome family fun in theaters this week. Another holiday season, another Grinch movie. The Grinch, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, comes to theaters this week. We all know the story of the Grinch, who hated Christmas joy so much that he stole Christmas. This movie adds the twist of also following the story of Cindy Lou, who, as she attempts to capture Santa Claus to thank him for his help for her overworked single mother. I'm not making that up. I don't know the angle they're taking here. It's different and interesting. But anyway, definitely go see this one if you're looking for a little bit of family fun. Right now, there's no reviews out, but everything, the trailers that I've seen at least, seem genuinely entertaining. So go check out The Grinch, hitting theaters this week. Next up in TV, Room 104 premieres its second season this week. This is a show I've never heard about, but I recently read about it in researching this segment, and it seems really interesting. This anthology series, set in a single American motel room in New York, aims to find magic in the mundane. Each episode plays out like a mini-movie with its own characters, genre, and story. The first season garnered some positive reviews but went mostly unnoticed. And like I said, after reading about the concept, it's definitely on my radar. It basically tells dramatic tales or comedic tales of groups of people that stay in this room and take something that seems as, you know, boring like a motel room and gives you this sort of history of all the different people that come through there and makes it entertaining. So go check it out. Room 104, second season, premiering on HBO this week. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. But the big game coming out this week is the sandbox survival horror game, The Forest, which is making its PlayStation 4 debut this week. Players assume the role of a man who survives a plane crash on a mysterious island who must find his lost son. The only problem is the island is inhabited by a cannibalistic tribe and other mutated horrors. Players must explore, gather, craft, and fight to survive the large sandbox world while trying to uncover the mystery of what's going on the island and find their missing son while doing it. It's got a lot of really strong reviews. People really enjoy the game, the horror elements. It's very creepy. Apparently, the inhabitants of the island have some fairly interesting AI at work that interacts with the player character. So if you're looking for some chilling open world survival crafting, go check out The Forest on PlayStation 4 this week. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. Another, I got to go back to the unscripted comment talk here. I can't believe I forgot about this one. Empire Strikes Back.
What about it?
Unscripted. I love you and I know.
Oh, yeah, the famous I know line from Han Solo.
I love you.
I know.
That's just so boss.
Yeah. Well, it perfectly exemplifies his character. And George Lucas, being the terrible scriptwriter that he is, had something else there, if I remember the story correctly.
Yeah, and he was going to say, I love you too. And Harrison Ford was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, no, Han Solo is not the I love you too type character.
Right. And instead, Harrison Ford edits that, and it becomes the most one of the most memorable lines in Star Wars history.
I love you.
I know.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's just so badass.
It is. It is a great line.
Because it's like the right amount of arrogant. It's not. Yeah. It's not quite like he's being like a jackass, but because there's still some emotion in that.
Yeah.
But it's confident. And like has that swagger. I loved it. It's so good.
Yeah. I think you're right there. It's like that borderline where it's like he wants to be tender, but he doesn't really know how to. He doesn't know if he can, you know, and he still has that roguish swagger about him.
Yeah.
So it perfectly personifies the character where he's not gonna get mushy, but he's going to acknowledge like, yes, there's feelings here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Good job, Harrison Ford. Bad job, George Lucas. Actors follow the dialogue that he writes, you end up with sand.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
Yes, I will agree with you 100%. George Lucas should never write dialogue. He is But in terms of world building and what he did with Star Wars, it's still amazing.
Create the world, then hand it to somebody competent.
Right.
Like here's this world and this planet and these concepts. Now go and make a movie
You write the actual screenplay.
Yeah, that's not the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Or whatever
the sand thing, yeah.
The sand thing.
Yeah, sand gets everywhere.
It's rough. I don't like it. Also, the monotone acting did not help, but whatever.
Okay, well
that's a discussion for another time because we have another big entertainment property that's gotten a lot of criticism recently that we need to talk about. It's one of our favorite shows currently on TV. We have to talk, of course, about The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, and everybody was waiting for this episode to come.
Well, I will say this before you go any further. We should preface this. We're going to get into some spoiler territory if you're not currently up to date on the latest episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, so...
Because this is pretty big, Rich.
Right, this is official spoiler territory.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
Okay. So there you go. You have been warned.
If you are not current with The Walking Dead, skip ahead to the non-fortune cookie odd news now.
Back to Walking Dead. This was it. Rick's official send-off episode. Where to begin?
Wow. I mean, I think first off, initial reaction. I actually like the episode. I know it's controversial to like The Walking Dead currently. But I think this season they've been doing a better job with the new showrunner in place, going back to the character-driven stories, going back to the intergroup conflict, you know, moving away from just the constant gunfights and the constant, you know, I know you liked it, but the hammy one-liners. I like the fact that it's toning it down a bit, grounding it a little bit, making it a bit more personal. And this last episode, Rick's send-off, was pretty good. At least I enjoyed it. I liked the more personal journey for Rick, especially the flashback part. Not the flashbacks, but the visions that he had. I thought it was all pretty effective in helping him come to terms with the fact that he needed to sacrifice himself, that he didn't have to get back to his family, that you know, by doing what he knew he had to do, he would be keeping them safe and doing ultimately what he's been trying to do this whole time. So I thought it was effective, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, your initial reactions?
I liked all the scenes with Rick, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think, though, it still was kind of an awkward thing that he fell off the horse, and that's what gives him his very serious injury.
Yeah, so the horse thing bugged me
last
episode, and it bugged me throughout this episode. I've never once seen, not that I've seen a lot of horses, but the horse freaked out when the zombies were, like, hundreds of feet away. It throws him off, but then waits there.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
it have run away?
Right. And then throughout the episode, the horse is just patiently waiting as zombies are, like, you know, a breath away from it. It just, I don't know. That was the one thing that, I understand, like, he needs the horse to get away. It's, you know, it's a plot device, whatever. But it was just really weird that that's how he ended up going out.
Yeah. I almost would rather have him been in, like, some sort of, I know you probably don't like it, but I would rather have been some sort of firefight or something that, like.
And he got clipped,
Right. You know? Because to me, that would have made more sense, especially since they're just coming off of an all-out war, that something, you know, finally a bullet hits him or something. He's been so lucky this whole nine seasons, and you're telling me now he's going to fall off of a horse?
What really would have made it believable is if he were injured getting out of the hole somehow. Not a zombie bite. Remember the previous episode?
Yeah.
If he was injured somehow in that, he fell, twisted an ankle, broke a leg or something, and that's...
Maybe.
Because,
that would have added to Daryl's guilt a little bit.
Right. Not only that, but I don't know where a firefight gets fit into these two episodes. I just think we're both in agreement that falling on the rebar was just stupid.
Yeah. That was...
I wholeheartedly agree there.
Especially when they do the pan out and you see that it's just like a little tiny section in that area. It's like, so then why couldn't he fall off any other spot? Like, literally, put the horse 10 feet over there and you'd have been fine.
Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing, and this is just dawning on me, and I don't know if there's something to be made of this, but maybe it does sort of speak to the fact that he has been lucky and that a lot of what has happened to him and his group has been luck. They've been lucky, and this is just luck running out finally, and that he fell in the worst way, and maybe it speaks to the randomness of it. And we've seen other characters succumb to randomness and luck running out.
But from a story perspective, that's kind of weak.
Oh, I agree. You should never leave things up to coincidence.
Right.
Absolutely. I 100%
unless it's
agree
based
there.
On like a true story, but this isn't based on a true story.
Right. Right. Yeah.
There's a difference between letting that happen and you're trying to retell something that's based on a true story versus you have full control over where the story goes.
Yeah. I'm just saying maybe that's what they were trying to show, but I wasn't a fan of the horse thing.
Yeah.
But removing the horse thing from it, I think it's safe to say that was probably everybody's least favorite element. I still think they did a good job of sending off Rick. AMC had a lot of things they had to accomplish here. They had to leave it open-ended.
Yeah. You knew that was going to happen. They weren't actually going to kill off Rick.
Yeah. They had to make it so that Rick, if he's not dead, doesn't immediately go back to his family, because that was the big question that we had. Well, he's not just going to leave Michonne and Judith, you know? So they solved that problem. They solved the problem of not actually killing him off. But they also, at the same time, made it a death for the characters, because as far as they know, he's dead.
Yeah.
So we can proceed with seeing them grieve and seeing the repercussions of losing Rick and seeing his legacy, because in their minds...
But not really.
What?
Because at the end of the episode, there's a time jump.
I think we still will see repercussions.
How much jump is...
6 years.
The girl is shooting zombies
The time jump specifically is 6 years.
Six years? I think you're going to be over that by then.
For the most part, yes, but there's still going to be an impact, because you can't tell me the community and world that he built. They're just going to be like, remember that random guy that totally pulled us all together and made this a working society? What was his name again? Bob? I don't know. Let's move on to something else.
Shtick.
The point is, his legacy is still...
Shtick Slimely?
Right, exactly. They're not going to forget him that easily. I think that I think the key is his legacy will be woven into...
Right, that's fine. But in terms of actual emotional
I think there'll still be moments.
Really? Because yeah. 6 years, that's kind of – to me, that's a big issue is why are we – now we're jumping really too far ahead. Now it's like now we're six years ahead.
Well, that's similar to the time jump in the comics, the 6 years thing. But I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that people will reflect from time to time. Maybe something triggers them. They showed a preview where Michonne finds like a little toy cowboy cop action figure thing. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that might sort of spark something, or Judith might be like, you know, what was my dad like?
Is
you know,
Judith going to be like a badass now?
It's clearly that she's the replacement for Carl going forward, which is weird because Carl's much older in the comics. But yeah, she's basically Carl 2.0, which I don't mind. I think she's a little badass and totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
She's just sitting there. She's got the hat, the sword, the gun. Like, it's a little overkill, maybe.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, that's fine. I can get behind that.
I don't know if I'm digging it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's sword. Still...
You don't like swords. You don't like Michonne, and you don't like little Judith because she had a sword. You take the sword away, you would have liked it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes.
That's an odd.
That's the only consistency.
No. My concern is she going to be the focal point of the show now? Is she supposed to also take, like...
Rick's role?
Yeah.
Because
I don't know. I don't know if I'm digging it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because people don't realize this because a big deal wasn't made of it. That's also Maggie's last episode.
It is? That's it for Maggie?
Yes. That was Maggie's, the actress's, that was her last episode. So that to me...
That's it? She just disappears?
6 year time jump. I think that they're going to solve that in the first 10 minutes by going, oh man, it's a shame. No, it's a shame that Maggie went with Georgie to the Commonwealth. I think that's going to be like one of the first lines uttered when the show comes back. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Mark, put money on it right now. They've been setting it up. Remember, Georgie sent her the letter and Jesus was like, you got to read this letter. That letter probably said, they're probably going to start with the letter, come to the Commonwealth because you're an awesome leader. And she's going to be like, see ya. And she's just going to bail.
Screw you, people.
She's going to take her kid and bail because Negan is still there. And still, even though she let him live, it still weighs heavy on her.
I don't know if I like that.
That's what it's going to be, regardless of whether you like it or not. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. I'm surprised they didn't give Maggie.
Couple of weeks ago, we were talking about mortal media mistakes.
Yeah.
Mortal media sins.
Yeah.
I think.
Off-screen right deaths, now, removals.
Yeah, right now, Walking Dead, they're not in mortal sin territory, but they're committing a lot of venial sins that are starting to pile up.
What's the minor sin? Venial sins, that's the term.
They're starting to pile up.
Media venial sins.
Yeah.
It's not as catchy, but we can make it work.
Right. It's irking me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's enough to make me... I don't know. If they do a couple more things like that, I don't know. I might stop.
Yeah. Those were the two big negatives for me were the horse thing and the fact that was Maggie's last episode. And I didn't realize until the day after the episode.
Yeah. I also didn't like the time jump. I think that's pretty extreme, especially for the Walking Dead TV show. There's never been a time jump that big.
Yeah.
That's a monumental shift to happen in this show.
Well, the only thing I'll say is that it's...
Maybe not for the comics, but for the show, it's huge.
I'll say it's absolutely canon, and in the comics it's pretty necessary because it shows the development of the communities where they get to a point where they're so well-oiled and working together that it's almost like, you know, how the United States is like states govern themselves, but also they're like a little country that usually works together most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those communities are like in the comics, where they're each their own governing body, but they cooperate and work together and they share food and patrols and safety and all that and technology. So the time jump works in the comics. I don't know if it's going to work in the TV show. I mean, it has to, they're doing it. So
yeah,
we'll see. But, I mean, overall, I thought it was a fine episode. I think that Rick's send off was effective. I do think that it's going to ostracize some of the fan base.
Yeah.
Having Rick Grimes gone, and there's no way around that. Rick Grimes and Maggie, the two of the leaders, two of the three communities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're definitely going to see a splitting of the fan base, but, I think AMC sort of foresaw that. And that is why immediately after the episodes, they had a huge announcement that The Walking Dead will be premiering three feature-length television movies.
This really
one
seems...
of which is starring Rick Grimes.
Yeah, this really seems overkill.
The Walking Dead is never dying. The Walking Dead has become The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This show will continue until it has four viewers. Me, you, John Bruno, and my mom.
Oh, I don't know about Bruno. I think Bruno's on his way out,
no,
too.
No, JB's on his way out, too. But they're really doubling down on this hard with the three movies. I don't know. What do you make of this? On the one hand, it makes sense. You can still have Andrew Lincoln and be part of a big plot line, but he doesn't have to be part of the series prime. And here he comes.
Yeah.
The man with a thousand opinions.
No, no.
He's walking.
All he did was shake his finger, no, no, no. So that pretty much
that's
all
wraps he needed
it up
to say.
So there you go. He's off the Walking Dead bandwagon.
Okay.
But no, I agree. I think this is overkill. How's this going to take place within the Walking Dead universe?
I've heard some theories online that some comic plot lines are going to be adapted straight to movies. But I don't know.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, the budget needs to be bigger, so making a movie is the way to do it. Instead of trying to do a 16-episode season, they could put some of these plot lines into, you know, a two-and-a-half-hour movie. And my counterargument to that is, if they add so much BS and fluff and filler to 16 episodes...
what are they going to do for a movie?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm... I don't know.
So what are they going to fill the rest of the episodes with if they're taking all the actual content out and putting it to the movie?
Yeah.
Are we going to have 16 filler episodes instead of just
right.
eight? Like, yeah. I don't know. It strikes me as slightly odd. It's a good way to keep Andrew Lincoln involved without killing him.
I wonder if this was part of like the way to appease Andrew Lincoln, because obviously now he's a big time star.
Yeah.
And he was probably asking for big time money. So it's like, well, maybe we can give you a movie deal.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of what it is. It's like, we don't have to pay him for 16 episodes. We can pay him for one movie, you know, and use the money that we save, put it back into the budget. AMC is always about, that was the thing that apparently that's the rumor. That's the thing that sparked the whole Carl thing, was that he was turning 18 and that he would be getting a huge bump in pay being one of the lead actors. And that's why they killed off Carl.
Oh, because he was turning 18?
Yes, because of budgetary issues. Because AMC apparently is a big cost-cutting network. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of disappointing.
I don't know how true that is. That was a rumor going around online, and nobody came out and refuted it. So you can take it for what it is. But, yeah. I don't know. AMC, some of the decisions they make as a network bother me.
Yeah. And I don't know, right now, this might be it for Walking Dead.
But you didn't like it? You didn't?
I liked...
I'm enjoying this season, honestly.
I liked the Rick send-off, and I liked the dynamic Rick had with him trying to put everything together. But now that he's out of the picture, and now that the time span has advanced 6 years, I don't know. It seems like a big shift in the story.
I'd say hold on. I'd say hold on. I know you're wary of the 6 year jump, but it is canon, and there's a reason, because it allows time for the characters and the communities to grow without watching them go through 5 years of farming.
Yeah, but at the same time though, this is different than what has happened in the comics, because now I've lost one of my favorite characters.
Right.
Actually two now, Maggie. I keep forgetting she's out.
Yeah.
And now you got thrusted with Judith, and it's like, I don't know if the pieces are all gonna mash up.
Well, we'll see. I'll just say this, that the time jump will lull them into a false sense of security, and that the next big bad, if you will test the way they think about things. And then of course you still have the Commonwealth lurking that has been sort of hinted at, and I don't even know if they're good or bad yet, because I haven't gotten to that point in the comics. But I think there's exciting things in the future for The Walking Dead, despite all of the questionable moves by AMC. So I would tell people to hang in there just a little bit longer, at least to see the beginning of the next big bad. And that might sway a few people, because I think they're legitimately cool. And hopefully they can pull that off in a compelling fashion. Before we head out of this Walking Dead conversation, I also want to touch on really quickly your top favorite character Mr. Negan himself. Yes. Negan had a very big scene in that episode with Maggie, one of my favorites from the comics, one that I was looking forward to, one that I knew that was going to happen, and I knew it was a big moment for both characters. How did you take it? What did you think of it?
I liked it.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
Because it's totally what Negan would do. If he's really that desperate in the jail cell and he knows that, you know, this is his life and he's going to be stuck there, of course he would beg for death. Anybody would. Because, you know, that's waste of the mind. Like, you're just suffering of the mind just over and over, of course. So to me, I totally identified with that. Some people were saying they turned Negan into a pansy. No, he's been locked up in a jail cell for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah,
and you know, with barely anyone to talk to, and Maggie comes down offering sweet death.
Yeah, offering sweet death. Yeah,
you know,
and Maggie being the total badass, and you know, saying like, no, this is already worse.
Yeah,
and just leaves him. I think it was super telling. And I'm getting chills just thinking about how, you know. Because I saw online some people were like, oh, you know, was he just playing her? He walked back to his cell.
Yeah.
You know, his shoulders were slumped. His head was down. He walked back to his cell, and he closed the door behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in terms of body language and in terms of, you know, what that says about where he's at mentally. And I don't think that they're turning him into a pansy. I think it's the opposite. I think that he was always, this is going to be controversial, always sort of a pansy, and that he was hiding behind the bravado. Right? He named his bat after his deceased wife because he's trying to fill a void. And he fills it with killing and with trying to hold on to this symbol. And then he loses the symbol and he loses the killing. He's got nothing left. And the world is evolving around him without him. Right? Yeah. So what's left?
Right. There doesn't seem to be a place for him.
So I was super excited for this development. And I kept telling you, I was like, Negan's still a part of the story, but just in a different way.
Yeah.
And so now you see the different way, and I guess you're on board with it.
Yeah. I thought it was in line with the character, and I liked it.
Yeah. So it's definitely a shift, but I think it's one that is long overdue. You know my opions.
Yes.
But, So overall, I enjoyed the episode. Controversial, but I did.
Right. Ironically, I guess you could say I liked the episode except the very beginning and the very end of it. That would be my wrap up of that episode.
That's fair.
So there you go. The latest from The Walking Dead. Now we got to wrap up the entertainment entree, but coming up next, I've got the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got some interesting stories that you need to hear. A couple of big ones too. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is gun rack? Roll Tide. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like, what is 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude buying $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I gotta hear more about these hooker farms.
I know, right?
We need to know more about these hooker farms. It's good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado, esio, do, camo, di, ya, di, yo. That's from The Karate Kid.
Yeah, you're
mixing it. Hey! Daisa, come here.
Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hooker farm. Come here. Banzai, Daniel-san. Banzai. He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on or wax off?
Up, down.
In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel-san,
out,
remember
in,
when
out.
I told you paint the fence? And then the sand the floor.
Yeah, you're the best story.
Oh man, nothing gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along into the third and final portion of our show, which revolves around some of the craziest news that I can find. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, ensuring that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. What do you got for us this week?
That's right. Although sometimes I don't know what's going to happen, sometimes I do. And I mentioned before the break that I got big stories. So here's the good news and bad news.
Okay.
The bad news is I only have 4 stories for this week.
Okay.
Which is low by my odd news high standards.
Right.
But 2 of the stories are massive.
Okay.
So for the first time in a long while, I feel like we're going to have more of like a concentrated odd news dosage here. So
okay.
So be prepared.
I am very intrigued.
Yes.
Now are we kicking off with a big story?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I figure I'll try and spread it out. So hopefully the dosage isn't that potent for everybody listening.
The dosage isn't as potent.
Yeah.
Yes, only take 10 milligrams of odd news.
Right,
not 20.
Right. Don't want anybody overdosing here.
Yeah.
But this first story, we're going to the Philippines,
okay,
which I don't think we've ever gone to either.
Yeah, no, that's definitely unique.
Yeah. And it revolves around a special pastor in the Philippines.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, so last week we had the Irish.
I'm already on high alert because you said a special pastor.
Yeah, last week we had the Irish Ghostbuster priest.
Right.
Now we have this special Philippines pastor.
Okay. What makes him so special?
Oh, we're going to get into it. A Philippines pastor has said in a recent sermon that he has traveled the solar system in addition to several other outrageous claims at a Pentecostal church over the weekend.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this priest is traveling the solar system to find him.
Yeah.
To find God.
He's very busy.
Yes.
Susan, hold my calls. I have to go to the solar system.
Hold my calls. I'm going to Mars for lunch.
Yeah.
He's traveling the solar system in a spaceship? Or, like, how does this work exactly?
I think he just goes.
He just goes.
Yeah.
He just picks up his coat and his hat and he just...
I'll be right back.
And he just goes.
In a video uploaded on the Facebook page Ang Tamang Dang Contradiction Teachings, the Philippines...
What? I'm assuming that's Filipino for something.
Sure.
But Ang Tadang, what was that?
Ang Tamang Dang.
Okay.
That's the name of the church.
That's just a great name.
In the video that is uploaded on the Facebook page Ang Tamang Dang Contradiction Teachings, the Philippines pastor claims in a poem that God allows him to tour on different planets in the solar system. Now, I have this translated in poem form. You want to hear the poem?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. This is supposed to be a poem. These small minds can only give Jolin their... Jolin is their movement, is the name of their movement.
Okay.
Let me start over. These small minds can only give Jolin as a gift. They can only understand that. Thankfully, I brought the Jolin. Not only did this world the Father showed me, many times he took me there to heaven and the stars. And the planets, I passed by them all. All of you can never do that. Therefore, you will criticize me again that you said he said that he passed by the planets, but this I did.
What?
And thus it was read.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
The word of the Lord.
Yes. Praise be. Praise be.
Praise be. Oh, my God. So, it sounded like you were having a stroke there.
I know. Well, this is... Well,
it's been translated.
Right. It's translated from Filipino, but still. And it's a poem.
Right. So
I don't know why.
A...
Why is he writing his homily in a poem?
To be trendy? I don't know. Is that like a new trend in religion?
Is it? I don't know.
Poem sermons? So, but, I mean, are people taking that literally, that he traveled to the stars? Okay.
His congregation believes it.
Did he mean it literally?
Yes.
Oh. Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. So, more information on this pastor. His name is Apollo C. Quibeloy. What a name.
Quibeloy?
Quibeloy.
Okay.
He was born in a small village in Davao City in the Philippines. According to his biography, he claimed that at birth, his mother saw a vision of the face of God smiling down from the sky.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, already, he was already, this one particular, this one guy right here, he has to go the way.
That's right. Of all the things that God could be doing, he's
all
watching
the babies,
this one Filipino baby.
Right here.
Yep.
In Davao City in the Philippines.
Yep.
This guy.
He searched through all the babies and he found them. That one.
After high school, Quibeloy attended a Bible college and he later became the national youth president for the United Pentecostal Church of the Philippines. It was after this that he formed his own church called the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, or as it was first named, the Name Above Every Name.
The Name Above Every Name.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad he changed it to the Kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a bit catchier now.
Yeah, the Name Above Every Name.
The Name Above... I mean, it's a cool, like, mysterious name, but it's not a good name for an organization.
No, I don't think so. So that's his latest claim. Apparently, the news organizations have studied his other homilies that he has given to his church at the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. And they've come up a list of things that he's actually said. Are you ready to hear this? There's eight outrageous statements.
Sure.
So, all right. So, first off, his latest thing, he travels the solar system.
Right.
Okay.
He just goes.
He just goes with God. Just, you know.
Just goes with God.
God just calls him up. Hey, buddy, what are you doing? You doing anything this afternoon? You want to go visit Pluto?
God's like, walk with me. And they just start walking straight up into the sky.
Let's go to Saturn.
Let's go to Saturn.
Don't go to Uranus.
He's into that type of thing.
All right. So, anyway, besides the fact that he goes to space. Are you ready to hear some other things that he claims?
Yeah, what do you got?
Quibeloy has claimed in previous homilies, quote, I am the owner of the earth.
Ah.
You shall recognize me as the owner of the world.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't realize that was possible, but
yeah,
I guess anything is possible through God.
That sounds a little more villainous.
Yeah, I don't think
diabolical, taking over the world kind of villain than priest.
I don't think God and religion is like the world should be owned by one person.
Well, God did appear to his mother in the face of the sky,
right.
So that's very important.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
God, the ego on this guy.
Oh, that's all. I got seven
travels
more things
to
here.
Space, and he owns the world.
Yes. Oh, it's going to get better here. Number two, he has also said previously, quote, I am the owner of all souls on earth. So apparently, did everyone check their souls? Because apparently this guy owns them all.
Yeah, he's got his name written in the tag on the back of the soul.
Yeah, so everyone pay attention. Apparently Quibeloy owns you.
All the souls, that's kind of ominous too.
All the souls.
Okay.
This guy.
So he owns the world and the souls.
Yes.
Okay. I'm assuming he owns more.
Yes, well, okay. We're going to get into all of it. Number three that he said in the past, that quote, I have also defeated Lucifer in my kingdom on your behalf.
Of course.
Wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Well, how nice of him.
That was very thoughtful.
Thank you.
We had a big Lucifer problem.
Yeah.
He just came in and dealt with it.
Right.
Fantastic.
Like a benevolent... exterminator.
Benevolent exterminator. You got roaches, you got Lucifers, I got them all.
I've come to clean your house of ants.
And
for
Lucifer.
Free. And Lucifer.
And Lucifer. We got an ant problem, but the bigger problem is that you got Lucifers.
Yeah, oh boy. It's gonna hurt the value, the resale value of the house.
Oh, jeez. So he fought Lucifer.
He fought Lucifer already, apparently. This is already done.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Then don't worry about anything, then. If Lucifer's taken care of, then isn't there supposed to be no evil in the world?
Yeah, right? Shouldn't we just not have to worry about being good or bad anymore?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Evil's gone?
I'm not a religious expert, but I think
that's how it works.
I would think that's how it works, but...
I think that's official.
I don't know. Another thing that he's claimed, the Father, God, did not adopt the Trinity names... their names of their denominations or their religion, these names are man-made. Instead, God adopted my original name. Wow.
What? What does he mean, his original name for what?
His original name. I guess when you get to heaven, you call God Quibeloy and not God.
Oh, okay. So he's saying, huh.
He's saying that... God, the name God is man-made. It's not
and
real.
And his name is really Quibeloy.
Right. Quibeloy is the real name of God.
That's much more believable.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
We're going to have to change the song. Our Quibeloy is an awesome Quibeloy.
There's so many syllables. Our Quibeloid. Oh my God. Our Quibeloid is an awesome
Quibeloy. Yeah. We're going to have to change the song.
Wow. So, man, the ego on this guy is insane.
Yeah.
He owns the world, the souls. God's name is his name.
Yeah.
And what else was there? Souls, world?
He defeated Lucifer.
Oh, defeated Lucifer. That's right.
On behalf of you.
That's right. That's right, of course.
Yes. So,
and he traveled
did you a
the
solid.
Solar system.
And he traveled the solar system. I'm not done yet. I still got a couple more here. He says, I'm allowed to have my standards to be very high if I want to marry. I don't know why okay. That's an official proclamation. Why are you mentioning that in your homily?
Yeah, right?
By the way, ladies, I'm single.
That's so weird. So, you know, today's reading reminds me of the fact that I'm amazing in every imaginable way.
Including the bedroom. Wait, what?
Oh, my God.
He says that, here's another thing. Angels regularly visit him.
Okay. Sure.
Regularly. What?
Regularly.
Like just on a...
Just every day.
He's got a Rolodex of all the angels.
Yeah.
Seraphims. I don't know what other angels are. I don't know. This is where I lose it. I remember there's seraphims.
I don't even know what that is.
That's like a higher choir.
That's a different kind of angel?
Yeah, it's like a closer...
Like a rank?
Yeah. Lieutenant angels, like a seraphim.
Lieutenant angels.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up angel ranks.
Right.
Is that a thing?
Well, apparently, if it is...
Oh, I found it.
Apparently, if it is, this guy has the full list. Angels visit him constantly.
Hold on. There is actually a list here.
Yeah.
Of the rank of angels. Do you want to know?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, let me see here.
Because we need to know how many angels are visiting him.
Okay.
Quibbleoid.
This is according to Wikipedia, so grain of salt. But there's archangels... Principalities or rulers, powers or authorities, virtues or strongholds, dominions or lordships, thrones, cherubim, and seraphim.
There you go. Cherubim.
That doesn't make any sense.
Cherubim and seraphims are visiting this guy all the time.
Wow. Cherubim is an actual thing?
Sure.
I don't know. What are thrones?
While That's Mikey weird. Finds that out, another thing that he has claimed that, quote, he claims that God took my name as his new name. So this definitely happened after he was born.
Right.
So all this happened in like
God was watching him.
Right.
And then was like, yo, I love that name so much.
Yo, I love this baby.
I don't know why God is talking like that. Yo, this baby right here. This baby's fly, yo.
Right here.
I'm going to take this baby's name right here.
This is the best thing to come out of a vagina.
This baby's dope.
All right. And the last thing that's noted that he mentioned in a homily, quote, I will write the third testament, which will be the book of fulfillment, which will be directed to the appointed son, me, who is now the new owner of the world.
Wait, what? He's going to write it to himself? I'm so confused.
Yes.
So it's just all about him all the time.
Yes.
Wow.
And he's going to write the third testament.
The third testament is right. The Old Testament, the New Testament,
and
the
Quibbleoid. And the Quibbleoid. The Quibbleoid third testament.
What is his name for the testament? The Quibbleoid testament?
No, he says it's going to be the third, like, actual capital T, the third testament.
Right, but what is it going to be called?
The Book of Fulfillment.
The Book of Fulfillment.
Yeah. Praise be.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
So, there you go. This is Pastor Apollo C. Quibbleoy over at the Kingdom of Jesus Christ Church. If you happen to be in the Philippines and you want to check them out, there you go.
That's amazing.
Apparently, we all
that dude just loves himself so much.
He owns all of our souls and he defeated
and the
world
for
us
and the world.
Yeah, and apparently he's best bros with God and they fly around the solar system.
That's right. They're just jet setting around the solar system.
Yeah.
Visiting all the planets. And they're flying by Earth. He's like, that one's mine.
Mars is a little hot this time of the year.
Yeah, no, he's not a fan of Mars. That is so bizarre.
Yeah. I can't believe
people are like, they're listening to this. They're like, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. How? That dude owns my soul. Yeah.
This dude flies around space.
Right. Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. He owns the world.
I saw Princess Leia do it in one of those Star Wars movies. Of course this guy can do it.
What does that even mean? He owns the world. Like, he collects rent from the continents? I don't, like, what does it mean to...
Yeah, and by the way, if you own the world, do you really need money then?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Shouldn't you just go to a random country and be like, aha, I own you guys.
I own you, the whole country.
Give me lodgings and food.
There you go.
Behold.
Behold.
I'm Quibbleoy.
Behold the miracle of God. Free stuff for me.
Yay!
Praise be.
Praise be. Yay!
It is. It's just a scam to get stuff from people.
Yeah, but I can't believe...
Think about how ominous that is, though, that he owns all the souls. It'd be like, Rich, I own your soul. Give me... anything that I want, you know?
All the souls.
Yeah.
And he defeated Lucifer for you, just on the side. He's a cool guy.
Just in his spare time. Just, oh yeah, you know, last weekend I just defeated Lucifer.
Yeah.
No biggie.
He was pissing me off.
Yeah.
I had to go take care of that.
I was getting ready for a trip to Saturn, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to just gonna defeat the Lord of Darkness.
Just
real quick.
I had an extra Saturday free.
Right, exactly.
You know?
I had a few free hours. I was like, you know, I might as well just destroy all evil.
Yeah.
No biggie.
But,
Quibbleoy.
Quibbleoy, man. Apparently.
What did he destroy Lucifer with? Just his amazingness?
I guess so. It doesn't say specifically how he did it. There you go. If you want to check him out. Apollo C. Quibbleoy of, the Kingdom of Jesus Christ Church, or the name Ang Tamang Dang Contradiction Teachings.
I don't like the fact that contradiction is in that title.
Yeah, right? That should be a big clue.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a warning sign.
Yeah.
But.
Whatever.
It's just totally weird.
Okay, so that was one of two really big stories. Let me shoot a couple of quick ones here so that we can... have some flow in the odd news.
Okay.
This one, going to Iowa.
All right. Good old Iowa, out in the middle of nowhere, doing nothing.
Yep.
Having
and
nothing.
I think you're probably going to agree with this story that these three people had nothing better to do. So, of course, it's Iowa, so they're going to start some trouble.
it's like, we live in Iowa. What are we going to do? I don't know. Trouble.
Yes.
Okay.
A fight over a mixed-up order at a fast food drive landed three people in jail over the weekend in Iowa. Arrested for misdemeanor assault and disorderly conduct were 18-year-old Malik Cortez Snow, 18-year-old Jalen Latrell Jones, and 19-year-old Genesis Nicole Pierce, all of Waterloo, Iowa. Snow was also arrested for second-degree harassment and assault on a cop. According to police, the three of them had placed an order at the drive-thru window at the Burger King at the local Burger King at 1:15 Sunday afternoon. So,
okay.
You know, just starting the day off.
That's right.
Starting the day off wrong. An argument over the order ensued, and the three were refused service. That's when they allegedly entered the restaurant in an angry manner. Snow and Pierce shouted that the workers were fast food bitches. Yeah, so
okay.
Just shouting.
Yeah, just banging tribal drums too for some reason.
Jones then allegedly jumped over the counter and got into the face of one of the employees. When an employee started to remove them from the store, they began punching and slapping. So this is straight up GoldenEye slappers and punching. Ah, chop, chop, chop.
That's an N64 game reference.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because there's a mode
Slappers,
on it.
Slappers, yeah.
Yeah, there's a mode where you can't use guns. Slappers only.
Slap, wow.
Slap, 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 slap. Come back here. Slap, slap, slap.
So they're channeling their inner GoldenEye.
Yeah. Then, after a couple minutes, Snow backed off and then made a pistol gesture with his finger and said that, hey, guess what? We're coming back with Mr. Smoke and you all are effed. Yeah, so
that?
Mr. Smoke Apparently, that's a name for a gun.
I feel like we've had a story like that before where somebody called something Mr. Smoke.
No. A couple weeks ago, it was Mr. Bang Bang.
Mr. Bang Bang.
Someone called him Mr. Bang Bang.
That's right. I remember somebody gave a gun some cutesy, stupid name.
Right. But,
Mr. Bang Bang.
But
Mr.
this
Smoke.
Time, Mr. Smoke. Yeah. Save Mr. Smoke.
Save Mr. Smoke.
Also, when he was arrested, when cops finally showed up, Snow spit on the officers.
Lovely.
So that's why he got assault on a cop.
Yep.
So they were all sentenced to jail, and they were released later that day. Just nothing better to do.
Yeah. Just starting fights at fast food places.
At Burger King. It was
Burger King. Burger King specifically. Did they say what was wrong with the order, just that it was wrong, or...
Yeah, just that. There's nothing else that says specifically.
I'll never understand how people can get so mad over a wrong order. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I'm of the mind just like, whatever. Just deal
just
with it.
Just eat it. It's food. Just,
yeah, right, exactly.
You're not getting, you know, Lebec Finn quality food here.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Just put the food down your gullet and move on with your life. You're in Iowa, all right?
What does that have to do with anything? Like, shut up, you're from Iowa.
Yeah.
Eat your food and be quiet.
Eat your food and be happy. Jeez. You're 18. You don't know anything about, you know, troubles or whatever. Oh, I'm going to be tough. Mr. Smoke. Ah.
Mr. Smoke. Which also is a really dumb name for a gun.
Yeah.
Because, like, why pick up on the smoke aspect of it? I don't know. It just seems dumb.
Bang, bang, Mr. Smoke.
Like, Mr. Bang, bang makes sense. That's what a gun does. It goes bang, bang. But Mr. Smoke.
Yeah,
like, I guess smoke comes out of it after you shoot, but I don't know.
If it wasn't for the finger pointing, I think people would have thought he's going to, you know, grab a joint or something. Which, that would have been cool. Yo,
yeah.
Man, let's have some Burger King and smoke a joint.
Right. Then you're not assaulting
anybody.
Iowa. In Iowa. It's their number one pastime out in Iowa. I don't think there's anything out there. I think it's just corn. Just corn and nothing.
All right, and let's get to another quick story here. This one going to Houston.
Okay.
A Texas woman wearing an oversized dog heads costume yesterday robbed a Houston convenience store before leading cops on a vehicle chase that ended with her arrest. So,
wow.
Yeah, this is a pretty detailed event here.
She was wearing a what type of costume?
A dog, yeah.
Like just a mask or the whole costume?
The head.
Okay, so just the head.
According to investigators, Colleen Dickens, a 30-year-old mother of two, robbed a Stripe store of cigarettes and $10 in cash. Oh, wow.
Come on.
She set her bar really high here.
Oh, man.
Cigarettes and $10.
That's awful.
She then fled the scene in a car, but was quickly apprehended by cops. After a short chase, Dickens emerged from her car, where she was wearing a large dog head and fairy wings.
You fairy!
Yes, literally fairy wings.
You fairy!
Dog fairy.
Dog fairy.
Why did
you fairy!
Why did she just have that stuff in her car?
Just
ready to go.
No one's gonna know exactly who I am if I wear the fairy wings and the dog head.
Exactly.
You fairy.
I mean, that's rock solid logic right there.
You fairy.
Police seized both parts of the costume as evidence. Dickens was named yesterday in criminal complaints charging her with robbery and using a motor vehicle to evade arrest, which are both felonies. She's being held in jail in lieu of a $12,500 bail. On a further note, she kept trying to spit on officers. So when her mugshot was taken, she had to have a towel over her mouth.
You fairy!
Wow, the fairy spitter.
Oh my gosh!
You fairy!
Put a towel over her mouth.
Yeah.
She's spitting so much.
She kept spitting on all the cops, yeah.
Jeez.
It's back-to-back stories, spitting.
Yeah, spitting on cops, I guess, is like a popular thing to do for criminals. Oh, I spit on a cop. Okay.
Take that. All right, and I got one last story for you, a big one here. Okay. And it's, of course, our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. It would not be complete without some sort of bulletin from Florida. And this one, we're going to follow the day, a day in the life of Florida man Christopher Doyle Norman.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one of those we're going to follow his day.
All right. So hopefully it's a very eventful day.
Oh, yeah. Because a drunken shirtless man allegedly barged into several Pensacola homes looking for a fight before running into fences and knocking himself out, according to a county sheriff's report.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And when I don't know what to do, I make that sound because that clears my mind of all obstacles that really aren't there.
32-year-old Christopher Doyle Norman was arrested Tuesday night for numerous offenses, including home invasion, battery, burglary, larceny, and criminal mischief.
Ooh.
This guy has a full house of,
yeah, that's
of charges.
A lot.
He went for the cycle. He got the whole, right? whole shebang.
He's like just filling out his checklist, you know?
Yeah. Norman allegedly began his rampage by kicking open a gate and approaching a woman who was sitting outside her mobile home and just punching her right in the side of the head. Yeah, just started it off right. Bam!
Wow.
Here I am!
Did he know that person?
No.
It's just a random person.
Kicked open the door, kicked open the gate, and just went to town.
Wow.
First victim. Bam.
God, that sucks.
He then grabbed a ladder and damaged an exterior door of another residence. So
okay.
So first home, punched a woman in the head. Second home, grabbed the ladder, hit the exterior door of the house with the ladder.
He's just leaving a wake of destruction behind him.
Yeah.
Just people holding their heads and everything scratched up and ruined.
Yeah. Then the third home. The door was open and he fell right through it. Of course. One of the residents in that house then grabbed a hammer and ordered Norman to leave. But as he was leaving the house, he yelled, quote, "I'm coming back and I'm going to burn this effing trailer down."
Oh my God. Jeez. That's a bit far, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay, so now this is three houses in. Now the next thing was a nearby apartment complex. At this place, he began knocking on one of the apartment doors. When the resident answered, a shirtless Norman then began yelling at the person, saying, quote, "Hey, it's time for us to fight."
Yay!
It's time for us to fight. This dude is just on his own schedule, on his own world.
How would you react to that if someone just knocked on your door? "Hey, Mike, it's time for us to fight."
And you just look at your watch like, "Oh my God, you're right." It's fight time.
Yeah. The resident immediately closed and locked the door.
That's a good bet.
Good response.
That's a good idea.
But then Norman then tried to ram the door with his shoulder, which caused damage to the door itself and the frame. Yeah, this is
weak.
Okay, so then he's done with this place. I told you, this story doesn't end.
He's just going through the whole neighborhood.
Yeah. One man terror.
Punching random people in the side of the head.
Now he moved on to another residence where he walked in through a closed but an unlocked door. And that's when he yelled in the apartment for two males to fight him and said, "Hey, boys, come on out. It's time to fight."
Yay!
Captain Death.
Somebody should just fight him and put him out. Put him out of his misery. Put him in his place.
That's when he then went upstairs. Wow, this guy needs to fight somebody. That's when the two male residents then confronted him, but then they chased around a table.
What?
This is so weird. Okay, so now they're running around a table.
Oh my god.
When the two residents were unable to catch Norman, that's when Norman then threw a lamp at them.
Oh my god. How did they let he's running around a table. You each go in a different direction.
And yeah.
I just picture like everybody following one after another.
Yeah.
Like a conga line chase, you know?
Yeah. Then Norman ran downstairs and grabbed a slice of pizza.
That makes sense. Everything he's been going through.
Yeah.
He needs some fuel, some food, sustenance.
Yeah. I need some fuel. Then he chased one of the residents into a bedroom and snatched a landline phone from him. The victim was apparently trying to dial 911. Norman then swung the landline phone around several times.
Yeehaw!
This is some weird...
It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's just the image of somebody swinging around a phone by its cord.
Well, apparently he did it way too hard because he hit himself with the landline phone in the back of the head.
Oh, my God.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Norman chased the victim outside around the apartment complex before he then ran into a chain fence, knocking him out and passing out on top of it.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yes.
Man, this guy is super active.
So
he's everywhere.
But unfortunately, that was it. That chain fence officially knocked him out.
I love the fact he got taken down by a chain fence.
Yeah. Deputies arrived on the scene to find Norman unresponsive and under the influence of alcohol. They handcuffed Norman without further incident. The woman who was punched in the head was fine from the incident, and there were no other major injuries reported at the scene. All right, you ready for what his jail bond is?
Oh, God.
Because keep in mind, he's got home invasion, battery, burglary, larceny, and criminal mischief. 5 charges.
Right, he's done a lot. I don't know. Probably something stupid, like 12 days.
No, his bond.
Oh, his bond. God, I don't know. It's something stupid. Probably like minute detail. $427.53.
Nope. $262,500.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not getting out anytime soon.
Okay, that makes sense for the number of things that he did.
Yeah.
See, because I thought it was either going to be, you know, ridiculously high or like stupidly, awkwardly low and specific, but no.
Nope.
Wow.
So what?
Yeah, he's
what
he's,
a run.
Yeah, he's going to be
one
in
man. $262,500 bond.
Wow,
that's a pretty impressive list of charges.
Yeah. Well, he punched somebody in the head.
Yep.
He was chasing people around, and
he damaged the.
That's right. He got the ladder and damaged stuff.
Damaged
right?
the ladder. Yeah. Damaged the second home. Damaged the apartment door. The first apartment door. The guy said it was time for us to fight.
Yeah.
And then everything that happened at the last house.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I feel bad for the guy.
No, but wow.
He's just fighting random people.
He really wanted to fight somebody.
Yeah, apparently. Well, then go be a boxer.
Yeah, join a fight club.
Join a fight club, exactly.
This is why we need fight clubs.
Yes, exactly. If you need... feel like you want to fight somebody, just start a fight club.
We need people to fight so that this doesn't happen.
Right. It's really doing a benefit for society as a whole, you know? Think of the children. Won't you think of the children? I don't know why you're thinking of the children before starting a fight club, but.
But there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Just two really epic stories there I had to mention.
Nice. Those were very good.
All right, and with that, it's time to do one last thing before we wrap up the show. It's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
Well, I learned that if you have that feeling, that nagging need to fight, just start a local fight club.
Yeah, people will join in.
Yeah, people will gladly join in, like that guy who wanted to fight
Christopher
everybody.
Christopher Doyle Norman.
It's a fairly normal name for a very outrageous story.
Yep, but hey, man, the Florida life chooses you. You don't choose the Florida life.
The Florida life. Oh, God. You're like, oh, no, I've been chosen.
I have to start fights now.
I have to strip naked, get drunk, and start a fight. Or do something else random. Like spitting on cops, which is apparently very popular.
Yeah,
for a lot
week.
Of people in Odd News.
This week, yeah, very popular move.
But, like, what do you think? You're getting arrested. You're like, I know. I'll spit on them. That'll definitely make things better.
Yeah, sure.
The logic there. Well, there is no logic. But, yeah, don't spit on cops.
Yeah,
it's a
not
bad,
good.
Bad idea. You know what's a great idea, though? Is the Book of Fulfillment, I think it was.
Yes, the Third Testament.
By Quibbeloy.
Quibbeloy.
The priest Quibbeloy.
Yes, who owns all of our souls, apparently.
And the world.
And the world.
And he fought Lucifer in his time off.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of other stuff.
And he flies through space with God.
That's right. That's right. He takes trips into the solar system with God.
Yes.
Not on a rocket. They just go.
Right.
Apparently.
Right. Apparently just run really fast.
They just run really fast until they slowly take off into the sky and they just keep going up, up,
yeah.
up.
It's like reindeers.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly like that. He is a human reindeer. Perfect. And finally, speaking of God, we also learned that there are ranks of angels, apparently.
Yeah, it's true.
I had no idea. That is legitimately something that I learned.
Yeah, see?
Ranks
I
of angels.
I blew your mind. Bam.
Yeah, seraphim and cherubim and...
See?
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go. Another great episode in the books. I know. It was only 4 Odd News stories, but I felt like they were very meaty. So
yeah.
I thought it served... served their purposes very well.
No, yeah, it was good. The saga of the dude fighting everyone and
yeah.
getting chased around and yeah.
I know it's big when it takes up an entire page on its own.
Right. I know. Usually your stories aren't very like take up a lot of space on a page.
Yeah. But those
it's a full pager. Uh-oh. Yeah.
We got a big one.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's what you can expect here on the Chris Moodle Podcast, sports, entertainment, and odd news. If you like what you heard and you want to listen to more episodes, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. Most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go and share with family and friends and strangers and people you're barging into random houses of the craziness right. that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, you know, as you go to punch them in the head, just pop an earbud in and be like, listen to this.
Listen to this right now.
Don't do that. That sounds like a terrible idea. Don't punch people.
Yeah.
But you know what you can do? You get in touch with us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. And follow us, and you'll know our reactions to sports headlines and other things in real time. You'll see what we're up to during the week. Yeah. So.
And also send us tips, odd news stories, whatever you want to hear. Send it our way, and we'll check it out.
That's right. But for now, that's going to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.